Hey, this is Reza.
This is Sandy.
Welcome to the Stone Cold Sober Podcast.
Thanks for stopping by. Welcome, everyone, to the 444th episode of the Stone Cold Sober Podcast. It has been a month since we have recorded an episode. We've been busy.
Yeah, it sure has been a month. I can't believe it. Yeah, that's mostly on me. Over the last month, I've been out of town a lot of weekends. So I guess, what, three weeks ago, whatever it was, we traveled out to the East Coast, Pennsylvania, Delaware area. I think we talked a little bit about it beforehand, but came out, visited my dad, visited some old friends, came up to New York City. We got to see you, got to meet Riley, which was great. Happy Mother's Day to Carolyn, by the way. And then that was a like 10-day trip, so that was two weekends. I was here the following weekend, but I think you couldn't record that one. And then last week I was in Detroit with my siblings. We do like these yearly. Well, I guess I say we do them yearly. This is just the second time, so hopefully we continue in the future. But we are trying to do these like yearly trips where we get together just us siblings, so we don't bring the significant others. We don't bring the kids along, and that way we kind of just get to enjoy each other. Ever since my mom passed, actually, this was something I think my sister initially tried to kick off, because she missed the being able to just talk with us, because she felt that, you know, it's true, but every time we're all together with our full families, it just ends up being really difficult to connect with each of us. And there were times where she wanted to talk to us, individually, and the opportunities never occurred. And so, given how infrequent we got together in the past or before that, we tried to make these trips happen. So anyway, Detroit was kind of a random location that was picked, but largely actually because of Detroit pizza. So we ate a lot of pizza on that trip, which was really enjoyable.
And you then, like Detroit pizza?
I didn't like, if you asked me before the trip what, you know, how do I like Detroit pizza, I wouldn't have even been able to tell you what Detroit pizza was without looking it up. Now that I know what it is, maybe for people who don't, it's like a rectangular piece of pizza. It's deep dish. It's fairly similar to like a Chicago deep dish style. However, there's a key difference. Well, one, in my opinion, I don't think the pizza is nearly as deep as Chicago deep dish. But two, the sauce is kind of layered on top there. But the way we had it at like the three different restaurants was kind of dollops. It wasn't like spread. It's not like spread evenly across the entirety of the pizza. So it's a fairly cheesy pizza. But I'm a huge fan of the pan pizza. Now, with that said, deep dish pizza in general, I wouldn't want to eat every time I had pizza.
You don't want to have a casserole every time you want pizza, is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. It's a good taste, but it's very different from the thin like New York style pizza. That's what I'll say about it. But overall, I enjoyed it, and it was a great time to spend time with my siblings. Always too short. It was just like a two and a half day visit. But it was still cool. It was my first time in Detroit. I think it was most of our first times in Detroit. And it was cool to see. Very, very, very interesting. Just like how dead a lot of areas, just completely abandoned. You'll see like places where people have completely renovated, and then like next door you'll see like the roof completely caved in on that next home, because the people have abandoned the home seemingly for decades. So that was wild to see. And then now we're here, Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to everybody, because I only initially gave it to Carolyn. But happy Mother's Day to all mothers who are listening to this. And I'm happy that we're able to catch up again, because I haven't really talked to you, verbally in like 3 weeks now since we visited you, right?
Yeah. It was great seeing you and Elena, especially Gordon, at our place.
Yeah.
Gordon is like a full-fledged human being now. I think the last time when was the last time we saw him?
His birthday. You saw him at his two-year birthday party.
And he's certainly not that age.
Yeah, no, he's not. That was kind of our farewell. I don't. Yeah. That was not your first time meeting him. You and Carolyn had come to visit us not long after he was born, before the pandemic, I think. I want to say he was probably like maybe 3 months old. I could be wrong on that. It may have actually been a little bit younger. But I think you guys came with diapers or maybe wipes. And then it was his two-year birthday. So, yeah, you basically seen him every other year after since he's been born. You've seen him every 2 years. So hopefully that trend does not stick. Hopefully we see you a little bit sooner than 2 years from now. But he's definitely a grown. He's definitely a full-fledged human being with very strong ability and capacity to verbalize and express what he wants. And he'll continue to push for what he wants.
I got a small taste of that, I'll say.
Yeah. The TV. He kept asking for the TV.
He
did not want to go outside with us for that walk to Panera.
He did not. He wanted
to stay inside. And then he got on his scooter, which was probably an interesting experience for him. We actually just went for a walk today. We did a family walk this evening before bedtime. And, he can really fly on that scooter. And this is a really foreign area for him. One, two, just doing it in the city anyway, where there's so much like street traffic. But really the big thing is how much foot traffic there is, because when we go on the sidewalks, he can go flying for a period of time and not encounter any people. That's certainly not the case in New York.
It was cool to like have you see our place, just like catch up and not really I know that we had like grander plans of like, oh, it'd be cool if we went to the park or so on and so forth, but it was just kind of nice to just like sit around and chat.
Yeah. No, this whole, every time we come out east, it just ends up being so quick and everything is never as long as we want. I swear, like the only way we're going to get, a proper, like the most enjoyable time is if we came out for honestly like 3 weeks and we just spent a single full day with people, because there's just so much to catch up on. And there are so many people to see. It's kind of weird because when you live there, you can go months, if not years, without seeing people. But when you're making these trips out for such a short period of time and you know you're only going to be there, once in the next year, maybe once in the next 2 years, you want to cram as much as you possibly can into that single visit. And so you end up having like a list of 15 to 20 people, 20 different people that you want to see. And it's not humanly possible to make all those happen. And so you and when you the people that you do end up seeing, it has to be cut so short for like 2 hours or something like that. I don't even think we got 2 hours with you, right? Because after we went to see Thomas, a childhood friend of mine, and we only got to spend an hour or so with him too before we had to head out and drive back home. It was nice though. I got to see his parents the next day too. They still live in the King of Prussia area.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
no, it's like I said, it was great to see you. I'm glad it all worked out. And then I'll talk about this thing recently. I want to say the last weekend. It was like a really long, busy day. It was a Friday. And then I get a text from my folks. My dad had texted me. He goes, "Hey, what are you guys doing this weekend?" And I was like, rarely. We're not actually doing nothing. And I called him. He goes, "Hey, what's up?" He goes, "Oh, we miss Riley. We want to see Riley." And then in that moment...
What about me?
Yeah, well, you ain't got to worry about that. Those days are behind us. No. Carol and I looked at each other. I was like, you know what? We've been meaning to do the, long drive to my folks with her at some point. Just to like see how she can do in the car. She had gone to Long Island already, and that's only about an hour. And so it's like, okay, it's somewhat manageable with only an hour, but this one would be 2.5 hours. And that's just a different order of magnitude. And when my parents had texted, it was like 8:30 PM. And I was just thinking to myself, it's like, all right, 2.5 hours, no traffic. Most likely, you won't get traffic at this time of night, Friday, like 9 p.m. on, right? Okay. So that's one thing. The other thing then was like, all right, we got to pack. because we're going from like we're about to go to bed to
that's kind of nuts. I'm not gonna lie, this whole thing's kind of nuts.
So what we ended up doing was we called the car at the garage, and we were like, hey, we need the car in an hour. They're like, all right, bet. And then we just like raced to get packing, and we only packed like one day's worth of clothing, which made it easy in some sense. Riley was already like, we were like, all right, you know, once Riley's been fed, it's the last feed of the night. Hopefully it's enough to just like keep her down. And so we were able to essentially get that going, and then we drove. And so I got onto the Garden State Parkway. Getting out of the city was like, you know, it was about as easy as it could be. And then we just like hightailed it home. And you know, at that point, driving 85 miles an hour on the highway, I might be considered one of the slower cars, I'll just say. And so it was, we got home as quickly and efficiently as we could. And there was no traffic, and she barely stirred. I think she started stirring.
Nice.
Like once we pulled into my parents' neighborhood. And so about as good of a outcome as you could warrant or fathom. And then unfortunately though, in Delaware it was raining for like all of last week, so we were like sort of stuck in the house, but it was still good for them to spend some quality time with Riley.
That's good.
Yeah, and so that was a big thing of like, oh, and then on the way back, so normally I like to leave my parents' place like, I want to say late morning, early or early afternoon. I like to be like back in the city, I'd say by like, by like 4 to 6 o'clock, you know? That way, okay, if you need to like run errands or something, you still got time to kick the week off.
Yeah.
Right. But this time around, we were like stayed because it was like, all right, you know, when should we leave? We don't have a good time to leave. And then what we ended up doing was we left at like 9 o'clock, the latest we've ever left, and she was like having a hard time feeding, and so we were like forced a little bit of formula down her, and then we were like, all right, she's fussing, I'm not staying overnight, I'm not doing like a 4 a.m. drive-in. And so my parents were like, just throw her in the car, should be okay. And then thankfully, once we started pulling away, she was able to like fall asleep rather quickly, and then super easy drive all the way back. And so that was it was really something. It was like kind of wild how nice the first what's it called? The first road trip with her, like first serious road trip with her was. She's definitely a motion and noise baby, I'll say. What I mean by that is, you know, she sleeps in a snoo. She's used to getting like rocked to sleep. One of the things that we do is we will, like when it's time to for us to put her to sleep, I'll like hold her in my arms and rock her back and forth. And then noise machine, all that stuff. So the car is sort of perfect for that, right? That latent sort of vibration of the road. Our car doesn't have the best insulation, like sound insulation, so it's like loud enough. And so I think she was just like in her element. It was great.
Yeah. No, that's really good. Our first road trip with Gordon was, I don't think we took a road trip before. We drove down to Florida with him when he was close to a year old. He still wasn't quite a year. And like he had been on a plane a couple of times. up at that point already, but I don't think he'd really been on a proper road trip. And so, that it was good when the car was moving, but the times where like we stopped like at 3 a.m. because everyone was tired and we wanted to take a nap. When we had to stop, he wasn't happy. He wasn't having it. He would fuss when he was in the car seat, and if you took him out of the car seat, he just wanted to play. He just wanted to like flail around. He wanted to touch everything in the car. He wanted to touch the steering wheel, the radio, so the lights. So it was impossible then for everyone to sleep. So that was a little bit tough. I'm trying to think, like, there may have been a couple of little like longer drives with him, and for the most part they were cool, but then like when you hit traffic, that was when things could be a bit of a nightmare. He would just crying and you couldn't settle him down. You just needed that steady just consistent road, you know, the wheels turning beneath you to lull him back to sleep. So baby who can sleep well in the car is definitely very nice, and it's nice that it wasn't too long of a drive too.
Yeah, it could have been worse. It definitely could have been worse. What else? No, that's really it, man. Like, it's been a... Is there anything else to bring up? I mean...
I guess I'm gonna ask, did you guys do anything special for Mother's Day today?
No, not really. Okay. Caroline sort of got the day to herself. So I took Riley, and so she was able to like get a workout class in. She went to like get like a facial done. She did her nails. Like it was a good day for her.
Okay, that's how it goes, man. So this morning, Lena, there was like this kickboxing class or something that she wanted to take. It ended up being like a circuit training thing, so maybe more CrossFit than anything. I'm not exactly sure the full details, but nevertheless, it was at like around 9. So Gordon, he's been, you know, he wakes up early, and lately he's been coming to my office to take the switch, which I actually need to move because he's been like he started playing it on Friday morning. Then he had a massive tantrum when it came time to like actually brush his teeth and get ready to go, even though, you know, we had discussed it. So anyway, it's becoming a little bit of a problem, so we're just going to go ahead and get rid of that because I don't need him waking up at 5 a.m. coming down here thinking he can just sit around and play video games for hours on end. Anyway, that's so he woke up fairly early, and then I made him breakfast, and Lena went to that class. Gordon and I then went to the store. We got a couple of cards, which I was going to do yesterday, but Lena ended up going out at night, and so I just didn't want to go out again after she got in. It was just, you know, sorry, let me restate that. She had gone out after Gordon had gone to bed, and when she got in, it was too late for me to want to leave the house at that point. So anyway, Gordon and I did it together this morning, which ended up being nice because he was able to help pick a card, and then I had him help me pick some flowers too, so... We got some flowers when she was out. I made her breakfast when she got back. And then she spent a little bit of time with Gordon, but for the most part I just tried to let her have kind of her own time today. There were a couple of times where like I wanted to take him out the house. I wanted to take him like to the park, and he didn't want to, and then when it came time to potentially do it, because he was like, no, he doesn't want to do it, I'm like, all right, fine, I'm gonna start making dinner then. And then like 10 minutes into me starting to make dinner, he's like, I want to go to the park. Can we go to the park? I'm like, nah, man, you missed that. The ship sailed on that one. I just tried to cook her meals, let her have a fairly relaxed day at home. She still like does a lot. So I was trying to like get ahead of her on certain things to make sure that she could stay off her feet and have her actually just enjoy herself and relax today. Like you said, pretty low key, pretty chill. The objective was, I guess the objective to a degree is don't have to mom quite as much as you normally would have to on a day when we're not all thinking about it all the time. So, I'd say to that end, maybe it was a bit of a success and, hopefully we won't go back to, you know, too normal tomorrow.
Yeah, that's totally fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys have any summer plans? Like any trips or something, or
no, we've had a
sport really... to do camp or something, or
yeah, okay, that's a good one. So yesterday we actually there was an open house at his school, at his his kindergarten, where he'll be, where the elementary school where he will be attending kindergarten in the fall. And so I had missed, there were I think two events. I missed the first one, which was like a first proper open house. That was when I was in Boston for work. And then there was another thing that happened like 2 weeks ago. So today, or yesterday, it wasn't necessarily an open house. They called it specifically a sneak peek. They just have like a bunch of like, I don't want to say vendors, but they had a bunch of like clubs and various things, organizations, like, you know, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts. There was a group that was there for like, you know, soccer camp. There was another group that was there for, what do they call them? Like teacher or parent mentors, which are to a degree, I guess, kind of like, you know, like student teachers almost, but it's actually your parents of the students who were there helping, you know, the teachers. There was a program dedicated to that. We did get to like walk around the school. We got to see where the various classrooms were. I'll tell you one thing. It completely threw me off of how much like extra assistance, attention there seems to be, like classrooms dedicated to, like there was a pre-K program there. So they actually have like a, somewhat of a daycare on site, but then they had, classrooms. They had like several classrooms dedicated to like speech therapy. They had like, I don't know, they had like, they had so much beyond what, like, I was expecting. Oh, every door is going to be, you know, this is a kindergarten, this is a first grade, this is a second grade classroom type of thing, right? But like, it really felt like half the school was dedicated to things that were not like specialized care or attention for students, which I thought was really interesting. Like, it's been too long since I was in elementary school to have that memory of whether the services existed like that to that capacity. I remember it quite like that. I think I remember that if there was a student in your class who required extra attention, extra care, there could be a full-time staff person who was in the class who usually served that student almost exclusively. Not that they were, you know, kind of pooled together in their own classrooms. Or maybe there was a single kid from your classroom who would leave for a short period of time to a person's, like, office. It wasn't like a proper classroom. Anywho, so we did that. We did get a little bit of information that, you know, there's various summer camps and stuff that were happening. Right now, we've really we've done most of our trips in the month of like April and May. So that trip to Pennsylvania, Delaware, New York, you know, for the wedding, that was the big one. Then I did the trip with my siblings. Lena and Gordon actually did a trip to Florida at the beginning of April. We are going to Portland next weekend, so I'm actually going to miss another recording. My bad on that one. Or maybe we can record. Maybe we can record early. But we're going to Portland because that's what my sister's there, and I actually haven't visited her there yet. So we're going to go from Friday morning to Sunday night. We're doing a red eye back home, and then
how does Gordon do on the red eye?
We've never done it. I don't like flying with Gordon though, like out, like in weird hours. So when we have to wake up super early for a flight, he's so excited about the plane, he will never sleep on that plane. You know, you like, if let's say when we came back from Pennsylvania, for instance, when we flew back here, the flight was at 6:30-ish a.m. Like let's say 7 a.m. We had to wake up by like 3:30, 4 a.m. for that flight. You know, get him into the car, drive to the airport, get through security. You know, you get to the gate, he's hungry. So you're, you know, Lena always has like these little like these instant oatmeal things. Like she gets these cups.
Yeah, I was about to say, the last thing he needs is coffee.
You just pour hot water onto it. So you get a cup of hot water from like, you know, whatever coffee place you can get, you know, Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts. You know, someone's going to give you a cup of hot water. So you put that in it, he eats it, you get onto the plane, and like even without screens, which he didn't have a screen on that flight, he's just like still so excited about the plane. Even though he's waking up, you know, 2-3 hours early, he's not willing to go back to sleep. And so he stayed awake for that full, like, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours of that flight. On the flip side, if we travel at what should be bedtime, it's the same deal. He's like super, when he gets like, you know, 7 p.m., he becomes hyper loopy and really difficult to like rein in. His arms, his body, like physically, he has no control. So his arms, everything's just flailing every which way. He doesn't receive direction very well. He's always just, you know, wants to do whatever. And so when you fly late, when it's just like, hey, let's go to sleep, he was like, I'm not tired. And he just, I mean, he's not like yelling really on the plane. He kind of controls himself in that regard. He tends to not like want to draw the attention of others around him, but it's still annoying as a parent when it's like, hey, you're tired, and because you're so tired and I'm exhausted, like trying to get you to go to sleep, I'm tired too, I want to go to sleep, so we got to go to sleep together. Like, it just doesn't happen. So anywho, yeah, and those are those tend to be the flights that are like much more affordable. When you're buying three tickets, you're not really trying you're not trying to pay a crazy amount of money on these things. And so those are the flights that we often take, and it's kind of annoying. There are times where we do fly like, you know, noon, which works out for the most part. You know, get on the flight or get on the plane, it's like nap time. Maybe he takes a nap, maybe he doesn't. Like, it's not the end of the world if he skips a nap. So those flights tend to be better. Now, this is like, you know, hey, this is nighttime. We have done, I said we haven't done a red eye, but we had a flight back from the last time we came to the East Coast as a family. We flew into Baltimore, I think, and so we were flying back. And this was, I want to say was it just the tail end or just the start? Like, I don't know, it was a Southwest flight, and it got delayed like crazy. It was supposed to be like a 6 p.m. flight, maybe 7 p.m. flight. We didn't leave until like midnight.
Oh, God.
And so we landed. We landed in Milwaukee. And so it's only like a 2-hour flight. But Gordon was like done at the airport. He was so exhausted. And so like at some point he was getting on my nerves. He was getting really, like, it was just really tough to just like settle him down. I was taking him on little walks through the terminal. Yeah. And eventually, like, he had just gotten to the point where he basically collapsed almost because he was so tired. I don't mean that literally, but he just sat down and he had nothing else to give. He couldn't do anything else, and he finally fell asleep. So I suspect this red-eye home will probably be fairly similar. The flight is at 10:30 p.m., you know, bedtime, 7, but it's a short weekend, so it's going to be 12:30 for him, you know, central time. So I'm not sure how he's going to handle it. He might fall asleep before we even leave my sister's place. And so we'll see. I guess we'll see overall. I mean, the plan would be to drop him off at daycare. I'm not sure. That seems a bit cruel. So we might have to, like, we dropped him off at daycare that, you know, that morning, right? But he had slept, like, you know, he'd slept everything but like the final 2, maybe 3 hours tops. And so, you know, dropping him off at daycare wasn't the end of the world. Dropping him off at daycare after like, 3 to 4 hours of sleep, maybe, depending on how he handles it on that red eye. You know, we land at 4 a.m. or whatever it is. Nice. Daycare's not even going to be open yet. We're going to land and have to, drive home. It'll probably be like 6-7 a.m. when we get
home. Yeah, how long is that drive back from the airport home?
It's like 40 minutes.
It's a long 40 minutes, that drive, though.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see. I guess we'll just kind of play that one off.
You're going to get yourself a large coffee when you land. That's all you got to do.
I hate red eyes. I've done like one. It's just miserable. It's not enough time to get rest, and it's never restful sleeping on the plane. I remember back on our Brazil trip when we flew to Barbados, right? And we had like three flights, and I think the first flight,
yeah, we can never do that again. That was awful. Like thinking about it right now, I was like, I'm surprised we did not survive the flight. We were supposed to stay up, and neither of us did.
No,
just thinking about it now, like if one of us told the other person that that was an itinerary, be like, get the fuck out of here, bro. Like, some places were just not meant to see anymore.
No, no. I tried to sleep on that second flight. I was so exhausted, and I just couldn't sleep. I just...
Because you're overtired. You're overtired.
Yeah, yeah. And then we're in the airport, and it's like, oh, now I'm ready to fall asleep. And then you're on the bus, and it's like, I don't want to sleep on this bus. I don't really know where I'm going. I don't speak Portuguese. We're going to get
fucking disappeared.
Yeah, or stuff's going to get taken, right? Like, like one or the other.
Yeah.
I guess yours is way worse than mine.
We would have gotten stuff, snatched out that motherfucker.
You get disappeared, and you lose your stuff. I don't know. And so, try not to fall asleep, but like, nah, man, like my body couldn't do it anymore.
I just remember you and I looking at each other like, hey, we're not going to sleep. And then like both of us sort of waking up hours later and be like, where the fuck are we?
Because every single stop, we're just like stopping on that. It's a coach bus. I'm assuming every single stop is going to be like a bus terminal type of thing, right? Because occasionally they were. And then occasionally we're just stopping on the middle of some dirt road.
And I remember you and I looking at each other like, so how do we count that?
Yeah, does that count? Did that person just get off? Like,
right? Like,
it's like, wait, what are they doing here? Where are they going?
Did
these people just get on the bus? How did they know this bus was going to be here? It's a coach bus. This is not like, you know. Anyway, whole thing was wild.
Oh, man. Amazing. Yeah. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Yeah, I could never do that again, dude. You'd have to be like, I don't know how we would do it. Like, if you were forced to go back to that part of the country, part of the world, you'd be like, how do you stay up?
I don't know. I'm not sure what the best option would be. Like, well, first of all, we wouldn't have, there's no shot we would have taken that ridiculous itinerary.
No,
three flights. Hell no. Like, no. And it wasn't like, I don't remember the last city that we flew into, but there was no way there wasn't Brasilia. A direct flight from Brasilia. No.
Brasilia was the connecting flight, right?
Okay, maybe.
Because Brasilia is like the main, like, central Brazil terminal.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, that was a nice airport.
It was a nice airport. I don't know where we would go for the place that we stopped at. It's crazy, man, because we flew there and then we flew back. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, we're going to fly out from here. It's like, nah, dude, we got to make our way back to Rio.
Got to go back because Scott's cheap flights hooked us up.
Yeah. Yes, it did. Yeah. And we stayed, and when we were in Rio, man, I know we stayed in that first Airbnb, like right on, like so close to the beach. Right. That was pretty dope.
That was cool.
But then I remember that on the way home, like back from Barreiras, the Best Western.
Yeah.
Was the Best Western the one? No. Best Western was in Iguazu, right?
Yeah, it was. Yes.
I can't. No, we were the other hotel was like a no name local hotel, but I just remember you and I being like, "Hey, a real fucking shower, dude." With real water pressure, and like that, they had the breakfast or the dinner or something. There was some meal they had that was like part of our ticket.
I completely forgot about that. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, man. I was like, that's why we booked that, because it's like, dude, you know what? We deserve a real fucking shower. And really Iguazu, man, Iguazu was a joke.
There were ants. They had red ants in the shower. I remember that.
They did.
Yeah.
Wait. Did they have that in Iguazu as well?
No. Not in Iguazu. Iguazu was cool. That was the one. That was the one where they had like the pillows set up like a massive cigarettes or something.
Yeah.
I still have a picture of you, fake Sook. I could tell.
But I also remember, I also remember when we got to Iguazu, shit was mad sleepy. I don't even remember where we went to for dinner.
Oh yeah.
It was like some karaoke bar or some shit. I just remember I was like, where? And this was before you could easily pull up Google Maps, you know what I mean, to be like, all right, what's open, what's available. I just remember we landed there, and I remember, like, and I keep saying I remember, but we had booked the Best Western because I said, all right, a full day of travel, we're going to want a decent spot to, like, chill. You know what I mean? And they claim that that's a 4-star. I don't know, dude. Mm-mm. That's graded on a curve, maybe. You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, my God. But it, you know what was cool? The fact that we got to go see Iguazu Falls before we flew out. Because that was worth it. That was awesome. That was worth it. You know you're never going back. You know what I mean? But the fact that you can say, like, oh, like, when you see it on TV or in movies, you can be like, yeah, been there. That's pretty cool. And the water was wild to see.
Yeah, it really was. I'm looking at the pictures right now. It's crazy.
I mean, I also remember...
It's really incredible. We, like, had to speed through it, too.
We did. We were rocked. I mean, you and I are known for, like, speeding our way through shit. Like, the Blanca Lake.
I knew you were going to bring it up. Yeah, yeah, Blanca Lake.
Blanca Lake, no way in our right minds nowadays would you be running down switchbacks with, like, twigs and branches. Like, are we trying to blow out an ankle?
Yeah. I was just thinking about that today. I was taking during that walk, and I was like, I feel my fucking age. It's crazy. Like, I am tired in ways. I'm tired and I'm achy, and I didn't do anything. Like, I worked out yesterday, but not today. And I feel like I couldn't run right now. And then I was sitting there thinking, like, could I do it? Like, I mean, with preparation, sure, I would be up for it to do that hike, get to do Blanca Lake again, but there's no way I would have the energy to be, like, running down that fucking, all those hills. Like, that was not, that was stupid.
Dude, I can't believe you have this photo.
Oh, yeah. I got all these pictures, man.
Dude, I'm burned. You see that? You see that red mark? Dude, I got burned.
Here, I'm going to show you the picture of the fish for the family of, like, 8.
Yeah, send me that photo, because you keep saying that we couldn't finish it, I know we didn't, but if only you had, you know, put your back into it, then we would have been able to.
Look at all the rice.
That's a lot of rice. That's a lot of rice. Looking back, I'm not going to say we fucked up, but we probably should have eaten more of the protein than the rice.
Probably.
And you know what's crazy? That was a good piece of fish.
It was a good fish.
Good fish. It was good fish. I remember the rice being good. And look, this place ain't got no floor. We're on the beach.
It's literally sand, yeah.
It's literally sand. And I think we were the only ones that were legit eating. Because everyone else was like locals, like, working or something, right?
Yeah, I think there was at least one person who was asleep taking a nap in the hammock outside.
Yeah.
Or one of the hammocks. Before we did. Yeah. But, we were the only people who were actively eating at that moment.
And then you got to ask yourself, would you do that again? Would you be the only person that's, like, considered not from around here? And, like, think about that, right? Like, so you're at the edge of the world. It's just us two guys, right?
Right.
We got our wallets on us and everything. And then I think it's just, like, as you get older, your risk profile changes a little bit.
A little bit.
Just because, like, at the moment, it's like he goes, hey, you want a nap? In a public space, and I was like, fuck yeah, dude, I'm exhausted. And now it'd be like, Reza, punch me in the fucking face and I'm about to pass out. Like, there's no way I'm sleeping.
But I don't think Karen would be too happy with me if I
I'd be alive.
Yeah.
Dude, I still, you know what the one regret I have on that trip is? What? Not going full bore on the ATV. I think I was just I remember looking back and be like, hey, you still with us? And you're zigzagging. Yeah, you're doing anything but a straight line. Meanwhile, I'm just like, yep. 10-2 following what he says. It was crazy.
I wasted so much gas. On my brother's bachelor party 6 years ago, he actually just sent us a picture, but 6 years ago, apparently, like today. And we did ATVs when we were there. And one of the first things that they told us was, like, no dropping back to then, like, catch up with anybody and no zigzagging and that shit. And I was like, oh, they wouldn't.
They got me.
They must have spoke. They must have spoke to the Brazilians about the last time I did this, because they wanted to make sure I was not breaking any rules here.
Oh man, but that was cool because it was just us. Like that, I can imagine that being a much bigger like tour setup. And if it's a much bigger tour, I feel like it's just not as cool. You know what I mean? Because then you're like, ugh, they got lost, they got caught up, yada yada yada. But man, just to like, I remember we were, do we like, when we picked up the ATVs, I guess I forget where we picked them up, but I remember like we had to, was it like a two-part trip where we had to go to some facility first to like sign some paperwork the first day, and then the second day we went somewhere and picked them up? Because I remember driving through like what felt like the beginning of town and the outskirts of town before we got to like the middle of nowhere.
I can't remember exactly. I know the first day, like when we first got there, and Mike, you know, we got on that boat with Michael, and then I know that we did like the hiking through the dunes. I thought the next day was the ATVs. I can't remember exactly what the separation was. There was something like at some point we went to the buildings. They gave us Crocs to ride on.
Yeah.
To ride with. And I actually did take a picture of the Crocs, apparently. But I can't remember the difference or like what exactly happened between like sign, like getting the, or like, I don't know. Like I know that we did like the signing of something, but then like the ATV.
Yeah, I feel like release forms part, I can't or something. Remember.
Yeah, there was something.
I can't even remember, at though. The edge of the world, paperwork. Ain't that paperwork. Yeah,
right. Yep.
Oh man, that hike, the dune hike was cool. Cause was that just us, or did we get picked up and like other people were already in the truck?
I think there were people who were in the truck already. If I'm not mistaken, there were different people who were staying at other properties, and it was set up by each property to have like, hey, this is, you know, these people are going to be getting on or going to be coming, and they, you know, pre-arranged that type of thing. So I think we must have told Michael beforehand what we were trying to do, and he set that all up so that they picked us up at that specific time.
No, that was cool. We didn't do the midnight version of that, right? Were we like too exhausted for that or something?
There was something late, but no, we did it. We did the sunset one. So we went out, let's say like 4 or 5. I know that we saw like the oasis.
That was cool.
And then
we got in it too, right? Didn't we like pseudo swim?
Yeah, I don't think I had.
Or we
like,
dipped our feet into it or something.
I can't remember exactly what we did in it. I'm sure that we went partially in. I'm not sure that we had like our full on swimsuits to go all the way in, like some people. But I could be wrong. I don't have any pictures showing. Like I have a picture of me kind of. I think I'm in it, but fairly shallow in it. So I don't know. Hard to say.
Yeah. Man, this was fun reminiscing about this trip.
Yeah, it was a great trip.
And then just the hiking up the Crescent Redeemer was cool.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that one too.
And how
you're like
you showed up in the parking lot. It's like what is this? Yeah. This is like some Black Mirror shit. It's like it felt like we were in the middle of nowhere. Next thing you know, it's like we ended up in the parking lot.
Yeah, they were like, you didn't take a bus up or anything like that. Oh, like no, like that's round trip. You can't get a ride back down.
Yeah, right. Like,
wait, what? Wait, what?
How do we get down? Was it a? Did we take a train?
I don't remember.
Man, we are I thought old the train, as shit. We can't remember anything.
I thought the trains weren't running, so I thought I don't think
we definitely didn't hike down.
We definitely didn't hike down. That's for sure. I'm trying to scroll back, but I don't think I'm gonna have any record of that. Like I have pictures at the top, and then the next picture I have is sushi. And
sushi.
I guess, yeah, there was like a buffet that we went to, so there was like I have a variety of stuff on this plate: mashed potatoes,
sushi, and mashed potatoes.
I have sushi. I have I think what looks like salmon and some pasta and. What is this? Is this a Coke? Yeah, it's a Coca-Cola. Yeah.
Oh man.
That's and then I had a funny. Dessert plate. You have some fruit on your dessert plate. I have no fruit whatsoever.
Well,
I said fuck the fruit.
You probably only had two plates worth of food to be.
You're probably right. I probably took just literally two pictures. My two pictures is probably all the food that I ate at that meal.
And you probably took like what's it called? The only two photos you captured do not fully encapsulate the amount of food I tried to put down.
No, not even a little bit.
And I'm looking at that photo of me smoking the towel cigarette. It's like, I'm a small dude still in that photo.
Yeah.
I thought I'd look a lot bigger. That might be my body's morphia acting up. Yeah. But I was like, oh, shit. Like, my stomach's not that big in that photo.
Yeah.
Damn. To be young. How old are we at?
This is 2014. It was just before my birthday in 2014. Yeah, 10 years ago. Sheesh.
Let that sink in. Fucking yeah. Let that sink in.
25 years old. I was it was actually, I turned 26 on that trip.
That's right.
Cause your birthday gift to me was that ATV, ATV rental.
Yeah. And you rode that ATV like Joker in Dark Knight when he's like half leaning out the side.
Oh man,
I'm glad you had fun. I had that was one of my favorite trips. That was such a fun trip.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was a great trip.
And we almost missed the flight. I mean, there's stories.
I just can't believe that. I just
there's that stories was, for days with this trip that was somehow.
Bitch, you're signed.
Oh god.
Like this one clearly says New York, and that one clearly says Las Vegas. I don't see.
I'm even talking on the way out. When they took, remember when we got stuck in traffic in the cab?
Oh, God, you're right. Yeah, and then they just like, we just cut the whole line.
Yeah.
Oh, that was nuts.
I feel like if you listen to this podcast long enough, you will have heard the story 9 times.
Probably.
But it's worth hearing every time.
I'm trying to remember. Were we doing the podcast in 2014? We started in 15, I think. So
I think we started in 15.
Yeah, I don't think we had a record of this. Yeah. Well, you finally got it, everybody. 10 years later.
Yeah, right. 10 years later, you got more of it.
You got more of it, and probably our half, like our fucked up memories of them, because it's probably not accurate anymore.
I remember because you didn't stay with me the night before, right? You came up that day.
Exactly. Yeah, I took a bus up, and I think the bus was super delayed. Like I don't.
Oh, was
think,
it?
I think so. I could be wrong, but I think there was a time when I came up because I came up to visit you a handful of times.
Yeah.
And there was one time in particular I came up, and I remember there was the bus was super delayed, and I think there was like some terrorist threat, like alert level or something happening in the city that was making it tough for people to get in, which like made it even harder or like the traffic much worse.
Yeah.
I don't remember if this was that same trip, though. I don't think it was. I think that was Bill Burr, maybe. And I think I must have come up like a day early for that. I don't think I came
that makes
up
that more
same
sense,
time.
Actually. That makes more sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just remember when we were taking the cab to JFK, because obviously we were going to fly to JFK, you can never trust. I mean, this is certainly as I get older now and drive a lot more, that I can make this statement with this amount of confidence, but taking a cab to JFK around rush hour is like suicidal because we should have, when I said suicidal that way, I immediately thought of Sean Kingston. You remember the summer where, I know this is a crazy left turn, but I think, was Beautiful Girls, 2000, what year was that? 2007? What summer did that song come out? All I know is I heard that all the time. Sean
Google says, 2007. Yep.
Anyways, I just know that the Van Wyck, it was just backed up and it took us like over or close to 2 hours to get to the, airport.
Nuts.
And then we got there and the line to check in was out
literally
the
out
fucking
the
door.
Yeah. I don't want to say lucky because we obviously plan it that way, but it's a good thing that we didn't have any checked bags, because if we had a checked bag, there's no shot that would have been made onto the plane.
No fucking shot.
So it made it, but we had to go to the check-in counter because we were so late. And so,
then
they just escorted us through. Like, as not even TSA pre-check is that quick. Like, they, it was almost like we had clear. It was that fast.
Yeah. I know I cut you off before, but then on the way back when they never fixed the sign.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because they, like, said it a bunch of times. I just don't know what got lost in translation. Like, how did the entire plane hear about this? And I remember getting mad dirty looks. We got mad dirty looks when we were the only two get on the plane. Everyone's looking at us like, in my mind, I'm like, where the fuck did you guys hear the announcement? You know what I mean? And then the TVs were broken. Oh, that was a shitty plane, dude.
That was the worst. That's the worst plane I've ever been on in my entire life. We were at the airport like 5 or 6 hours early.
Because we had nothing else to do.
They wouldn't even let us check in. Like, we couldn't go through security because our flight was over 4 hours away. Yeah. And so we were literally just standing there for a long time.
That's how you get there that early.
we finally got through. And then we were just sitting there hanging out at the gate for hours. At the gate.
Yeah.
And it was like, at occasionally you go to an airport and their international terminal is pitiful, where they have no food options. There's nothing to do. I feel like this was fairly similar, where we had gone to that, like, that airport, you know, that Brasilia airport, and it was like,
popping.
I don't know. Yeah. Massive. It was just like, massive. There was stuff everywhere. There's food everywhere. I think we got McDonald's or something, or Burger King or something at that airport.
Or something. Some burger.
And then, so we're just stuck in this terminal with nothing to do. And the sign says New York the whole time. I never heard an announcement in English. I never heard the word New York come out of anybody's mouth. Now, granted, maybe we were sitting there with headphones on and we didn't hear. Maybe that's what happened. Definitely got some dirty looks. And I've that plane was so cold.
So cold, and dude.
Despite the
thin
fact,
blanket. You know, oh, God.
Oh, yeah. And the TV screens, like you said, right? The TVs, because it's not like, oh, it's seatback TVs. Now, like, this was the plane. You know, like, it was literally like the planes that I had ridden back in, like, 1992 or 1995, whatever the first time I went to Iran was. Like, it's the plane that has, like, 3 CRT TVs for the entirety of coach. And our CRT TV was, like, just to our left. And the movie had finished, but the screen was still on. It was just black, right? But I closed my eyes. I swear to God, I could see that black image burning. It was searing through my eyelids. I couldn't sleep on that.
Today.
Yeah.
I can still, when you said how cold it was, I can still, like, shiver thinking how cold it was.
I literally
thin refugee blanket, dude.
Yeah.
God.
Lena's always like trying to tell me, like, oh, you're not going to bring any outerwear on the plane. I'm like, hell no, I'm a grown ass man. But then I always have flashbacks. have flashbacks to that flight because I had a t-shirt and I literally pulled my arms into my sleeves on that.
Yeah, I remember.
Like I was like eight.
Oh, good memories.
Yeah. I still don't bring the outerwear on the plane. So I'll tell you that right now. 10 years
later. The last time I brought outerwear was my honeymoon, because we were flying out in, like, January in New York.
Yeah.
So I brought a winter coat to a tropical island, and it was awful. But it was necessary. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I remember there was another time, I think Carolyn and I, we flew to, like, Cali or something. Not Cali. I forget where we flew. But on the way back, when we landed in New York, it was, like, below freezing. Like, I'm talking, like, 29 degrees. Mm-hmm. And we were in, like, a thin sweater. And we had to wait, because, like, the Uber was coming. But, you know, when the Uber says they're coming, you don't know, like, when they're actually coming. And so I'm standing out, like, in, like, the middle, like, concrete median for the for the passengers to wait for the car. And I swear to you, I could feel, like, my blood started to slow down.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was like, maybe I'll bring my outerwear next time. Nope. Nope. No way.
Nah.
No way.
Nah. I'm not lugging that coat through Florida. Not happening to me.
Nah, dude. Nah. Hell no. And then we're gonna be like, oh man, you know what'd be really clutch right about now? Fucking jacket. Yeah, I just hate having extra stuff in my hands. It's really what it comes down to.
Exactly. I you know, you got enough stuff in your backpack. Even if it's like a hoodie, like, I don't know. Like, if I'm going somewhere warm, I don't really want to have that with me because I'm gonna take it off. Like, I'm exaggerating a bit. Like, I will definitely wear like a sweater on a plane nowadays. But we were going to Brazil. We were traveling super light. It was still.
But we were also it was still super fall. Young. No money.
Yeah, young, definitely no money, and it was fall. Like,
Yeah. So, fucking need a jacket for.
Yeah. You know what do I mean? I need a jacket? Yeah. What do I need a jacket for? And honestly, if we did have any outerwear, I probably had it as in a laundry bag because we probably didn't do much laundry during that trip, if any.
Yeah, hell no.
So it was probably just like in, you know, the bottom of my, like, you know, my my bag in a bag of laundry, and I was definitely not gonna be pulling it out of there. I was gonna curl up underneath that refugee blanket and suffer. On that awful, awful American Airlines flight.
I don't understand why I keep forgetting these, like, really traumatic experiences. And then, like, rebook somehow. Like, hey, I'm flying American. You know? I'm not going to learn my lesson.
They literally taped off some seats because the seats were broken on that plane, right?
It was duct tape.
Yeah.
This is the story that just keeps on giving. I will say that if we were forced to do that trip again, A, we'd have a great time. But B, what I would do, as you were mentioning that, was I would probably find us either an Airbnb or something with a laundry machine. Because Carolyn and I have been doing that thing where when we were traveling for a long stretch of time, we would end up just doing some laundry. So A, you don't have to pack as much. But B, it's just nice to have clean clothing. Like, you're not lugging around, like, your dirty clothes for the rest of the thing, you know? Because it does funk up the rest of your shit.
No, absolutely. Yeah, completely agree with you. Even, like, at hotels, I used to not do laundry at hotels when I would travel. And I've been doing that, maybe not, like, super often, but occasionally. Sometimes it's not even necessarily out of a necessity. It's just convenient to get it done. It's like, oh, I'm here. I'm at the hotel. Gordon's asleep. I'm awake. Let me just go run a load of everyone's laundry. And, you know, now we have one less thing to do when we get back home. Something like that.
That's a big thing. One less thing to do when you get home. Because then you unpack and all your shit's clean.
Yeah.
You can't beat that. All right. We've gone on long enough. We gotta get out of here. I didn't think this was gonna be an hour, but I really appreciated walking down memory lane with you.
Yeah, no, it was good. We did we covered the last week for like 20 minutes, and then we just jumped back into to content from 10 years ago.
Let's talk about the exact same trip in 4 episodes, so we can really give the people what they want.
Yeah, we didn't tell them about like when we hung out on the beach on that rock and like 50 million people showed up, like after you and I were the first people to show up there. Like, what are all these people doing up here? And then just like more and more people kept coming. We got to tell that story.
Yeah. Man. Save it for next time.
Yeah.
All right. Cool, let's get out of here.
Well, I'm Reza.
I'm Sandy. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see everyone next time. I'm going to go to the next one.